This morning for the reading, I decided that instead of trying to find one reading, that I got a list of all the different places in Scripture where God is described as or speaks of himself or herself as a woman. And very interestingly, we know some of these passages very well, but I'll just quickly run through them and listen to the different images that God is presented in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. In Genesis, in the creation of men and women, humankind was created as God's reflection. In the divine image, God created them, female and male. God made them as good. In Hosea, God is described as a mother. God is speaking. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk, I who took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheek. I bent down to them and fed them. And later in Hosea, describes the mother as a bear. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and tear them asunder to defend my children. In Deuteronomy, like the eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, God spreads wings to catch you and carries you on feathers. Again in Deuteronomy, you were unmindful of the rock that bore you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. From Isaiah, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in my love. Again in Isaiah, can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will never forget you. Again in Isaiah, for a long time I have held my peace. I have kept myself still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor with gasp and pant. And in the Psalms, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. Again in Psalms, as the eyes of a servant looks to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to you, Yahweh, until you show us your mercy. And this from the New Testament from Matthew. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. And finally in Luke, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. We never think about God's identity as a woman, but certainly Scripture has laid a foundation for us to recognize that there's something godly. And not only the men who are in charge and the men who have been able to serve in God's name, but also the women and the ordinariness of their being represent God in very powerful ways. And even in a culture that was very, very unkind to women, unkind to them as people, as mothers, and any role they played in survival, They were on their own if they did not have a husband and were not married to someone with wealth. And even in that culture, these people were able to say, when I think about God, I think about God this way, as one who hovers the chicks under the wings, as one who reaches out to heal and draws one to the cheek, as one who gives birth and new birth, as one who trusts, who listens, who is open to possibilities, as one who has an ear and an eye for God, from whom mothers give great wisdom. And with that said, I've been talking on Mother's Day for a gazillion years, and I thought, wouldn't it be nice if you spoke about mothers? Since it's no need to prepare, it's not a special text, it just comes from your own experience. So I'd like to give you the opportunity to say something. It doesn't have to be profound. It doesn't have to be anything that's going to blow people away. It should not be confessional. But to allow you the freedom to hear your voice in this place where we celebrate you, women, as mothers, as women, and where all of us together are the family of God. So if you'd like to say something, we'll take a few minutes. Oh, I'm going to rush right over to my niece.
Thank you. I know for me, my mom has taught me unconditional love. She's always there for me. She's praying for me, and she really is the center of our family. And I am so blessed that she is ours.
Very good, thank you. Yes.
My mother was a wonderful woman. And the best thing I can say about anybody is this. She gave me unconditional love. And I try to emulate her every day of my life.
She gave it to everybody, too. Even me when I came in as a stranger. Honey?
My mother and my grandmother had a very heavy influence on me. But what I wanted to talk about was my wife, Laura, is a preschool teacher. And to me, it's like herding cats. I don't know how she does it. But every day she gives a part of her for mothers who can't be there. She's the pseudo-mom. She has to be there. She has to give the children a hug. She has to listen to them. She has to sing with them. And she teaches them. And she probably knows more about some of those children there than the parents do. And so for all the preschool teachers out there and all the teachers that become moms, I think they deserve some credit too.
I love my mother dearly, but she drives me crazy. I love her dearly, but there's no one like my mother that could drive me crazy. And I try to not do that with my daughter, but I think I do the same thing to her. One of the things about being a mother and becoming a mother, I think, is that you understand how much God loves us when you have your own children. It is just the most powerful, incredible, magnificent thing, and the whole world changes once you become a mother. And it makes me realize my value to God as a child.
I just want to say how lucky I am to still have my mother right here and how great she's doing, and she's a real rock in our family.
I don't know how to... My mom was wonderful, and She was just the rock of our family, being brought up in a world that, you know, the old Yankee farmer that I was brought up with. And it was hard, but Mom kept us all together. And then I was lucky enough to find this wonderful, precious person sitting beside me that I think is one of the most wonderful nannies, if I can use that word, nannies, in the world. She was, she had a model mother, too, that was a tremendous nanny, and we used to call her Nanny. And I think the crown was passed on to this wonderful lady.
My mother was a great woman, and I thought of her a lot this morning, but I'd like to pay tribute to two women that are with us here this morning, two grandmothers who have taken on a tremendous task in the last few months. Nancy has taken on a lot of care of our grandson David. He's 3 and a half, and you know, there's some issues with between his mother and his father, and Nancy stepped up back in January. I think you've all met David. He's been here several times. He's a great character. He's a great kid, and he's developed a great love for Nancy. In fact, he calls Nancy Button, because the other kids call her Betten, which is Norwegian for grandmother. So he calls her Button, and Nancy figures that was because she's as cute as a button. But I'd like to salute Nancy for what she's done with David, and also to Norma Carey for what she's done with this little guy, Phoenix. And apparently Phoenix has adopted a couple of other grandmothers here, too. I want to salute both Nancy and Norma for what they've done.
Oh, it's hard. I do miss my grandmother right now, too. But that's what being a mother is. You never stop. It's just the gift that keeps on giving. You just never leave that role. I mean, once you're a mother, you're always a mother, and you're a grandmother, and you're an aunt, and you're a caregiver, and it's my faith that has helped me through this, knowing that, you know, the Lord is there whenever I ask him to be there.
Thank you, dear.
Well, both parents taught me outreach, but I really didn't appreciate my mother until I got older. Well, I always appreciated her, but what I learned from her is that she never really left home except for church or visit her mother or something like that. She was housebound. I don't know how she could stand it. But her door was always open to anybody that wanted to come and talk. And even us kids, we had conferences around the kitchen table just talking. And where is that talking today? It's lost.
Becoming a mother has made me appreciate women more and made me understand women more. And I just, you know, meeting other women who are mothers and in any way, you know, not necessarily biological mothers, but anybody that's taken on that role makes me appreciate them a lot more. and I have a lot of friends now that are struggling to have children or that have struggled and that, you know, continue to deal with the problems of being, you know, a working mother in today's world. And I just think, you know, I just have so much respect for everything that people go through now to be a good mom.
just like to say that, you know, I'm very fortunate to have the mother that I have, and she's been the rock in my family for me. And I'm proud that I was able to name my firstborn daughter after my mother, who will carry on, hopefully, her legacy.
I'd just like to honor all the women of this church, but I'd especially like to honor now Donna and Dawn, who have been pillars of this church for a very long time. Dawn, who taught my daughter Heidi, who's now graduating from college when Heidi was young, and Donna, who never forgets to send cards when people are ill or having birthdays or other celebrations. She has been wonderful doing that for many, many years. So thank you, Donna. Thank you, Dawn, for what you do.
Yes, thank you for mothering all of us. Any others?
I just don't know how to let a mic go by. I drove my mother crazy. A little different than yours, right? She drove you crazy. I drove my mother crazy, so much so that she needed me to out of the house, and we just didn't have chemistry. You know, it was very challenging. And so I want to acknowledge, and today is about women, so it's going to be the women who opened their door to me as mentors and guides. Many of them were had no children of their own. They just showed up in my life like an angel, dropped them in front of me. I think I was headed for a very bad outcome, and these people started showing up. And on the way home from school, I could go to their houses, and I could find sanity and value. They taught me to do cooking, or they taught me other things. And so I felt like I was making a contribution. You know, it's very important to feel like you make a difference in someone's life. And all through my life, I have had wisdom teachers, and I've had, just these gems who showed up and didn't need anything from me. They didn't try to change me. You know, they just invited me to be more of the better parts of myself. So for all the women, in all the ways that they open their hearts and their doors in these quiet, and Fern, I want to assure you that there are many doors open the way your mom's was, and I'm very pleased to pass it on now. I have 4 young women who are find their way to my doorstep, and there's always a cup of tea.
My mother, I love my mother, but we had our moments. She was a very strong-willed, spoiled lady, so that's why we had differences, etc. But she lived to be 100 years old. And had she not lived to be 100 years old, she had a lot of, she had osteoporosis. Her mind was absolutely clear to the very end. She had osteoporosis, and I think every bone in her body was broken, and she just rose to the occasion, whatever it was. But when she was in the hospital and she had to do physical therapy, this is how, I can't think of another word, but naive she was. She would come home when she was finished with that and say, I can't believe there's so many young people that are far worse off than I am. I'm like, yeah, you know. She just never seen that. She'd been very protected. But my point is, had she not lived to be the age she was, I really grew to, I always knew I was loved, number one, but I grew to love her in a very, very different way. We shared things, we giggled together. She just did an about face. And God's timing isn't your timing. I wish it had happened earlier, but it did happen. And when she died, I knew that I loved her dearly. I'm not so sure that it would have been that way before all the things that happened. So I'm very grateful for that, and I want to add again, I knew I was always loved. It just was not so easy. So
That is probably the greatest pastoral prayer that you could have lifted on this day, because you spoke from the heart, you spoke from your own personal experience, and you said something that we all needed to hear, because every one of your stories, I'm sure, resonates with every one of us. I could tell you stories about my mom, great stories. But all I'd like to say now is, let us pray together, calling God, our mother and our father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.